Isn't it great to be here today? Amen. Great to be together. Great opportunity for us to come together and sing and praise God and study His Word together. And that's what we're here to do this morning, mostly to remember what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And I'm just thankful that God commanded us to do this at least once a week. First day of every week, so we would gather together to do this. I want to welcome our visitors. We have a lot of folks visiting with us today, and we're glad to have you here. And we have two kind of semi-celebrities amongst our midst today. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Ted and Linda Cook celebrated, was it yesterday or day before yesterday? Friday, their 50th wedding anniversary. So, you know, that deserves some recognition. And so, congratulations on that. I was talking with Ted the other day, and he told me that in those 50 years, he's only had three or four lumps on his head at any given time. So no, he didn't really say that. I just made that up. But congratulations to the two of you in that. Okay, one other thing before we have our lesson. Don't forget, those of you who have already gotten a buddy, look around and see if your buddy's here. If they're not, make sure you contact them this week. If you were not here last week and you did not get a buddy card, then see me afterwards and get your buddy. And for those of you who are not here, what we're doing with this is everybody... we're asking everybody to get a buddy card. It's one of the members of the congregation here, and just asking you to look for that person when we gather and see if they're here. If they're not, contact them during the week, check on them, make sure they're okay, and so forth. So if you don't have a buddy, then see me afterwards, and I'll give you a buddy card. Okay? Now, we have been studying breaking down strongholds through prayer. This has been a very long series of lessons in our study on prayer, and we're just about finished with this particular part of our study, focusing on the strongholds. We've got one more this morning we're going to talk about, and then next week we'll finish this whole series in talking about overcoming the enemy. But this morning, what we're going to talk about is breaking down the stronghold of depression. Okay? Breaking down the stronghold of depression. You know, I don't know what the latest figure is, but there are several million people just in the United States alone who are classified as suffering with depression. And that's talking about people who are clinically depressed on some kind of antidepressant medication. Somehow they're working and struggling with depression in their lives. We have some 300 and some million people in America, and we've got a couple of million of them are struggling with depression. Would you say that depression is a problem for us here in America? Yes, it is. And it is a problem for those even in Christ. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit more in just a moment. But, you know, depression is one of the strongest tools that Satan uses against us to try to hold us in bondage to him, to try to keep us from being effective in the way that God wants us to be. Because when we're consumed with depression, then we're not doing what God wants us to be doing. And so Satan is very active in dealing with depression. So let's talk a little bit about, before we talk about breaking down this, you know, this stronghold, let's talk a little bit about depression itself. First of all, what is it when we're talking about depression? What is it that we're talking about? Well, generally speaking, when we talk about depression, we're talking about, you know, this feeling that we get, sometimes it's described as being blue. I just kind of feel blue. I feel down. Some people describe depression, feelings of depression, as being, you know, this darkness this cloud that's kind of hanging over me and I can't seem to get it out. We just kind of feel just blah, no energy, all of those kinds of things that typically are associated with feelings of depression. What are the causes of those kinds of things? What causes depression in people? Well, generally we look at three major causes. Okay, depression usually has something to do with one at least of these three things. The first one is physical causes. That sometimes there are physical things that are going on with people. There is probably the way that it's described most of the time. People talk about a chemical imbalance in someone's brain that causes them problems with depression. So that's generally the physical part of it. The second cause is psychological stuff. In other words, it's in our brain, our mind. In other words, it's our thinking. And so we get, you know, what I oftentimes refer to as stinky thinking going on, and you do that long enough, then that in itself can get you depressed. Okay? So we have to also remember that this is a particular area that Satan specializes in, as we've already seen in talking about, you know, spiritual warfare and so forth, that, you know, that's where the real war is in our mind. You see? And so a lot of times people face and struggle depression because of the things that are going on in their mind. They're thinking. We're not talking about someone, you know, who is delusional and someone who has schizophrenia. Those are mental illnesses, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about depression, okay, that people are struggling with where something in their life has happened and in their mind they're working that thing through and it's creating a lot of these feelings that they have of confusion and low energy, sadness, all of those kind of things to talk about. And then the third one is spiritual. There are spiritual reasons why people are depressed. Okay, when we can find ourselves involved in sin and guilt, you know, if we don't repent of that sin, guilt starts kind of eating away at us, and that's by, I believe, God's design. Okay, and if we don't repent of the sin that we have in our lives, then that can cause us a lot of problems, including depression. I want to call your attention to Psalm 38. Turn your Bible there for a moment and read with me a little bit here of a perfect example of how sin wreaks havoc in our lives mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually when we don't repent of it. But then also we see how when we do repent, how it is resolved. Psalm 38, David writes this psalm, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. My back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Does that sound to you like someone who's struggling with depression? Yeah. You see, all of the kinds of things that David is describing as going on with him because of his unrepented sin. If you want to go and take a look at Psalm 32, you see, you know, similar statements from David about his sin. But then he talks about how when he confessed his sin, when he repented of it, then God forgave him and he was relieved of those. So you see, we need to understand that this particular part, this particular cause of depression, you see, when we're involved in sin in our lives and we don't repent of that, at the kinds of things that can happen to us simply because of sin, the great thing is that when we repent, God will lift all of that away from us. Isn't that great? Yes, indeed. Okay? But here's something that we need to keep in mind about depression in general. Okay? Then we're going to start looking at, okay, well, how do we tear this stronghold down? Okay? But understand this. When it comes to depression, it really doesn't matter what the cause of the depression is. There are two things that are always true. Doesn't matter what the cause is, these two things are always true. Number one, Satan will take advantage of it. You'll find that to be true. Doesn't matter what the cause is, Satan will take advantage of it. Number two, God, the great physician, can cure it. You see? Those two things are true no matter what the cause of depression is. And we need to keep those things in mind. Satan certainly will, as we talked about previously, we were talking about grief and so forth, Satan will exploit it. You see? He's not going to give us a break because we have bad things going on in our lives because we're struggling with things like depression or anger or despair, rather, and so forth. He's not going to give us a break on those things and leave us alone. But God has the power to heal us and to help us to overcome, no matter what the cause is. It may be bringing on that depression. Now let's talk about how do we break down this stronghold of depression. We're going to look this morning at a very familiar verse to most of us, Philippians chapter 4. But we need to understand some things probably a little bit differently than what you are typically used to understanding, okay, when it comes to this passage. We need to see what is Paul really saying here in this passage, because I'm not sure that we always understand it the way that it is completely intended to be understood. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He starts out here by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, in your outline you see on there, I have a question mark next to that. Always? Rejoice in the Lord always? Well, you mean I'm supposed to just be happy as can be no matter what's going on in my life? I'm supposed to be jumping for joy? Well, unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people interpret that statement, but I don't think that's what Paul intended. I don't think that's what God intended for it to be. You know, to look at different circumstances and situations we find ourselves in life and say, well, I'm supposed to rejoice in the midst of this particular tragedy in my life? You see? I'm supposed to be jumping for joy and be happy about that? What we need to understand is that depression is normal. Even, listen to me, even within Christians under certain circumstances. Okay? It's normal. We need to understand that, and I am thankful that we have really come a long, long way over the last, I'll say, 10, 15 years when it comes to this, because, you know, back when I first got into ministry and when I first started counseling, we had a real problem in the church with the whole idea of Christians being depressed. The whole idea of having someone like me who does Christian counseling to a lot of people was ridiculous. What do we need a Christian counselor for? Christians aren't supposed to have depression. If you're depressed, the answer was, and the belief was by many people back then, if you're depressed, you just don't have enough faith. You just need to get more faith. Well, you know, that sounds real theological, but it's not valid. You see? It's really not valid. We really need to more and more understand that, yes, under certain circumstances, depression is normal. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean it this way, and I put it this way to a lot of people. You know, we oftentimes have different things going on in our lives, all right? And I have people come to me and say, well, I'm just depressed. And, well, what's been happening to you? What's going on? Well, I have this bad thing and this, somebody in my family died. I have, lost my job. I have this, all these different things. And my response oftentimes is something like, well, I understand you're depressed. If you weren't somewhat depressed, I'd be worried about you. Okay? Because depression sometimes is a normal reaction or response to certain events in our lives. And I don't think that God wants us, if a loved one of yours passes away, that He wants you to be jumping up and down the aisle going, oh yes, my husband or my wife or my daughter or my son, whoever, has just died. I'm so happy. But you see, typically as we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, that causes a conflict with us because we're going, but I feel so bad, but I'm supposed to rejoice. How do I find joy in this situation? And guess what that kind of confusion produces within us? Guilt. Guilt. You see? And Satan then has a foothold into our depression, doesn't he? So we need to understand, first of all, that when God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, you see, we have to put that in its proper context. When we talk about depression, there is some that is healthy. It is our mechanism of working through whatever those sad or bad events are that we have in our lives. And again, it is sometimes expected for us to be somewhat depressed. There is abnormal depression, though, you see, and that's where we've got to be careful. That abnormal depression even has what I refer to as a paralyzing effect on us. In other words, our depression is so deep within us that we really begin to stop functioning the way that we need to. You see, we're not doing the things that we need to. We can't work, we can't sleep, we can't eat, we can't... None of those kinds of things. And that, you see, as it continues on for a long period of time, becomes very unhealthy and is abnormal. You see? So, we need to understand that yes, God wants us to rejoice in Him always, but that does not conflict with us at times being depressed over the circumstances, as long as that depression does not grab hold of us and hold us in bondage to it. Cindy and I have shared with you the situation going on with our daughter and son-in-law, and you know what? As I think about that, I get depressed over it. It's hurtful, it's frustrating, it's depressing. And I'm certainly not going to run up and down the street and run up and down the aisle here going, oh man, they're having these marriage problems. Isn't life great? That's not what God wants from us. But neither am I going to allow that circumstance and situation to paralyze me and to keep me from doing what I need to be doing and being effective in my own life. You see the difference? Okay, well, we ask, well, okay, Russ, I understand that, but where's the rejoicing part come in? Well, it goes back to a text that we studied previously. Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we look at that thorn in the flesh that Paul talked about, and what is the answer that God gave him each time he prayed about that thorn in the flesh? I think it's the same answer that God would give us as we pray about whatever the circumstance is that is causing us to feel down, to be sad, or what have you. In other words, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And what God wants us to understand, I'm convinced of, is that when we are focusing on God's grace, whatever is going on in our lives, we can rejoice in God's grace. You see? And we can always do that, no matter what the circumstance is that we're facing. Even when we're sad, even when we're down, because something is going on in our lives that is crummy. And we all have crummy things that go on in our lives from time to time, right? Anybody? Do y'all have crummy things going on in your life? Y'all know what crummy means, right? Okay, all right. Some of you look at me like, crummy, what's that? You know, we have those things. And it creates a conflict within us because in our heart we know that God is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And so we walk around with this smile on our face when inside we're just being torn up. And people that know us and love us come up to us and say, hi, how are you doing? We go, I'm fine. And inside we're just melting away. And we create this conflict of guilt inside us because we're supposed to be rejoicing, but yet this thing is tearing me up inside. Well, brethren, we need to get this straight in our minds, you see. And when we rely on the grace that God has for us and we rejoice in the power of that grace, you see, then we can deal with whatever the sad event or things that are going on in our lives at the time. Does that make sense? You see? And then we also keep Satan from getting that foothold into our time of depression by making us feel guilty that we're not jumping for joy at whatever is happening. Well, then he goes on to say in this passage here, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Okay? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Really? Don't be anxious about anything? Well, again, there's something we need to understand about this. The word that is used here in the Greek language for anxious is also the word for care. Same word. Okay? Now, in the King James translation, those of you reading the King James, your translation says what? Be careful for nothing. Right? Well, if we look at that and we don't really understand what he's saying, then one could easily translate that as going, okay, well, it's okay for me to be careless because I'm not supposed to be careful about anything. But we need to understand what the word really means here. And when we understand the true meaning of the word that he's used, then the whole passage really begins to make proper sense in those contexts. The word in the Greek language for care or for anxious is merimnao. I'll give you a test on that later, okay? All right? But here's the thing. That word means to draw in different directions, to distract, okay? Or to have a distracting care. Now does that passage start making a little bit more sense? Do not be anxious about anything. Wait a minute, you mean my loved one is in the hospital, I don't know whether they're going to live or die, and I'm not supposed to be anxious about that? I'm not supposed to care about that? Is that what God wants us to do? Is when we're facing difficulties in our lives, to just go, oh well, and go on about our business, putting on this happy face and pretending like everything is fine? Absolutely not. But Rusty says, don't be anxious about anything. And isn't that in anything? Yes, but we need to understand again that word anxious. Be careful not to allow whatever it is that's going on to distract you from your focus on God. That's really what it means, you say. Don't allow it to distract you from your focus on God. Which again, if you go back to the first thing we talked about, rejoice in the Lord always, how are we supposed to rejoice? By focusing on God's grace. Well, if I'm being distracted by whatever is going on to where I'm not focusing on God, I'm certainly not focusing on His grace. And again, where does that put me? Right back into Satan's hands. You see? And so, you know, we again need to understand that nothing that's going on in our lives, good or bad, we should allow ourselves by those things to distract us away from God. So, in other words, we can kind of put it in our modern language today, in modern terms today, to say, where he says, do not be anxious about anything. In other words, don't let anything distract you from your focus on God. And think about it this way, especially in the context of what we've been focusing on so much about prayer. If whatever is going on in my life, the good things and the bad things, if I am bringing those things to God in prayer, then I'm not going to be distracted by them, am I? You see? Does that make sense? And that's how we've got to look at it and understand. Don't allow whatever is going on to distract you so much that you forget about God and leave Him out of the equation. But rather go to God and bring it to Him, you see? So don't leave God out of anything in your life, okay? The good or the bad. And then the last point we want to look at is to call out the guards. I just kind of like that statement. Call out the guards, you know? We're in trouble here. Call out the guards. Isn't that typically, you know, you're watching the movies and something's going on and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we've got the alarm, sound the alarm and call out the guards. Why? Because there's some kind of a threat that's going on. There's some kind of a threat to our security or our safety or something. So the call is, get the guards out here. You see? Call out the guards. And that's exactly what God wants us to do when it comes to the bad things that are going on in our lives from time to time. Those things that otherwise would not only cause us to feel depressed, but sometimes lock us into that depression, we need to call out the guards. You see? So that we can be protected from falling into that deep depression. Paul here says, when we present our everythings to God by prayer and petition, then we have a guard. We've called out the guard, you see. Isn't that what he says here in this passage? See that? When we go to God in prayer, we present whatever the request is about, we present that to God, that is our calling out the guard. Because he says here, when we do that, look at what he says. Verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we need to call out the guards. You see? Call out the guards. That's what it's really all about. When we're struggling with something, when something bad is going on, remember, call out the guards. Well, how do I do that? I bring it to God. I present my prayers, my prayers and petition, my request to God. Thus calling out the guard for my heart and my mind. And we need to do that because, again, as we've seen over and over and over again, where is the real battle? The spiritual warfare is taking place where? It's in our heart and in our mind, isn't it? You see? And so God is telling us here that we have a guard for our heart and our mind. So what we need to do is, whatever it is we're struggling with, we call out the guard. And we give that to God. We call upon His grace that He promised to us that is sufficient to handle whatever it is that we are facing. And He provides the guard for us, a peace that passes all understanding. That's the guard. So in the midst of whatever it is happening, I can find a peace that I can't really completely understand, but I can feel it. See? I can feel it. I know it's there. And it's guarding my heart and my mind. I know, without a doubt in my mind at all, that if I didn't have that, Cindy and I right now would be a wreck over what's going on with our daughter and son-in-law. But as we, you know, as we talk about it from time to time and the situation, we're looking at it, we're trying, you know, we just keep reminding ourselves and one another, well, we just need to keep praying to God. We just need to keep bringing it to Him. And as we continue doing that, we feel a peace. You see? His peace is guarding our hearts and our minds, even in the midst of all of that turmoil. Because that's where Satan is trying to wage war with us. So when we look at depression that's going on in our lives, Paul here gives us a formula for being able to keep that depression, you know, from overwhelming us and becoming something that devastates us and captures us. If you're struggling with depression already, and I'm talking about something that has got you in a bind, you see, then go back to these things and look at them and see what God is calling upon you and providing for you, see, to be able to tear down that stronghold so that you can be what God wants you to be in your life. Now I have before I give the invitation, I want to give a recommendation to a book. This one you can see it's a paper cover. It's pretty ratty and it's an older book. But this book is still available. You can get it online at Amazon.com. I checked on it the other day. And you can get it for all kinds of various prices, new and used, paperback, hardback. I think I saw it on there one place for 37 cents. so it is available. You can find it, and I highly recommend. This is just a great book, even if you're not struggling with depression. It's just a great book to bring you a lot of encouragement in the times when you do. It's called Making Things Right When Things Go Wrong. It's by Dr. Paul Faulkner. It's very lighthearted, but yet at the same time, it really helps you to look at a lot of stuff that goes on in life that sometimes overwhelms us, and it gives us a way, he gives us some good insights and ways to be able to deal with stuff and to go through that. So everybody got that? Making Things Right When Things Go Wrong by Dr. Paul Faulkner. Again, you can find that on Amazon.com. There may be somebody here this morning that's, you know, struggling with this particular stronghold that Satan has you, you know, just kind of bound up by this. Hopefully some of the things that I've shared with you this morning will help you to see some things in a different way, that maybe it's the guilt that you feel because you're supposed to rejoice all the time and yet you're feeling bad because of whatever's going on. Well, hopefully you understand now what he really means by that, and we can get you free of that guilt if that's what's going on with you. Maybe something going on that you need to give to the Lord that you haven't done so yet. You need to call upon His sufficient grace to help you with that. If you need to do that, then let us help you do that this morning. Maybe something else that's going on in your life that doesn't have anything to do with depression. It just may be something else you need prayers for or guidance or what have you. We want to be able to help you with that too. And there may be someone here this morning who's ready to give your life to Christ, become a Christian. If you have not already done so, but you desire to become a Christian, then you need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. You need to repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and you can have those sins washed away right now, this morning, in the waters of baptism. We've got water that's ready, and you can become a Christian right now. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. If you would like to come up here, and Ted, are you going to be in the back? Ted will be in the back if you would like to just have a private prayer with him or just talk with him privately about that, then you can go back there and see him. Whatever we can help you with, all you got to do is come to one of us and let us know, and we'll do our best to do that. Let's stand and sing together.